talk to y'all this morning from the thought, loosening your grip. Loosening your grip. Scripture's been read for your hearing, and I want to just kind of come in hot on this, if y'all don't mind. One of the issues that the church is dealing with is a crossroads. The crossroads is the, and that this crossroads is an intersection between our methodology and the message. Methodology and message, they're meeting at a crossroads. And in many instances, there are places that care a lot more about methodology than message, and places that care more about message than methodology. I want to share with you today that there is no such thing as one over the other. Matter of fact, both are actually necessary. And the truth of the matter is, if you take one of the extremes, you're tightening your grip on the thing that can actually change the environment where you're planted. There's people that get upset, downright angry, when you tell them we're going to do some things differently. And it never has anything to do with the message. The message is still the same. Jesus was born, Jesus died, Jesus got up, and we have the ability to be free. But my God, if you tell somebody, and this is actually from experience, if you tell them that you're going to change the program, that there's a possibility that you don't print a bulletin, they will riot, hold their money, and tell you that you better print that bulletin, and it don't matter if it affects the environment or not. People do this stuff. I'm not talking about here, I'm just talking about stuff. People will get upset if you are not about high worship. And high worship is usually a term about how you perform a thing in worship. You see this morning that I'm in a suit, and I'll just be honest with you, because of the weather outside, y'all barely got this. Because as I would tell anybody in a minute, I will more than likely show up in a t-shirt and some jeans, and God help me, maybe one Sunday in some shorts, because it's hot outside. And the message still don't change. But somebody somewhere would rather that the preacher show up in every piece of regalia possible. Preach like they have lost their mind and have heat stroke in the pulpit in order to maintain their idea of worship. Don't care about the message, but please make sure you show up in all of your regalia, because that's the only way to have church. You even have people that are on the more liberal side of dress and everything else, and they will try to clown people that do show up suit, shirts, and ties and all that kind of stuff, and they still do it by basically saying come as you are, but their version of come as you are means that you need to come as I am. So, you know, there are people. See, y'all should know me by now. I'm even, you know. I say come as you are. That means if you feel good in a suit, do that. But if you feel good in t-shirt and shorts, do that too. Because it's all welcome in the space. Right? Method. No message talk. Method. But on the other side, here comes the message. The message that redeemed us, that saved us, that brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light, the thing that saved your life, that when you heard that word that came straight from God, it told you basically, come to Jesus now and don't wait until some other time because you don't have another chance. That thing, you know, that when you first believed, it really got you, and that's what compelled you to say yes to the Lord. But somewhere along the line, people want to try to tell you and romanticize how they came to Jesus, because they are so far removed from when they actually said yes that they think that it actually happened a different way. Some people say that they can remember when they came to Jesus, and I believe them. Some people do remember the exact day, the exact moment, the exact sermon, all that kind of stuff. I know those folk, and they mean it with all their heart, and it's verified. But then some people will try to tell you that when they came to the Lord, they came to church and everybody was dressed up in church and this, that, and the other. And they were dressed up in church, and then they came because they were looking pristine, and they finally got themselves to a point where they felt like coming. And the truth is, as good as you looked in the pew, you was as broken down as anybody else. And you didn't have any other alternative because you ran out of options. And something in that word said that in spite of what you were going through, God still loved you, even if you were as dirty and as messed up in your heart and mind as you felt. And that word caused you to move because you looked around. You didn't know if anybody still loved you. You didn't know if anybody cared. You didn't know if anybody wanted you and everything like that. But that word compelled you that the Jesus that died for you and got up for you still loved you, even in the midst of what you were going through. Am I in the right place? If I'm in the right place, then you're going to understand why I have an issue whenever people that claim to love the Lord walk around with the message of the gospel, the answer for life's questions in their hearts, minds, hands, everything, and for some reason they can't release it. You may be thinking, I'm talking about everybody need to become a preacher. That is not what I'm saying. As far as I'm concerned, there's some people that are trying to pursue the pulpit that need to sit down somewhere and mind their business. There are some people that have all the elocutionary skills in the world, but they never need to stand up and talk about anything in the gospel text a day in their life because they're too intellectual and they don't have enough faith to really know that it's not your intellect. It is the God that gave you the intellect that is going to be the one that's going to redeem somebody. But anyway, that's our little side note. But understand that there's a lot of people that carry the answer when it comes to what it is when it comes to the Word of God. And the Word of God is the thing that still saves and redeems us. It's the message of the gospel that still brings us out of darkness into the marvelous light. It is still the light of His Word that allows us to get beyond the dark moments of our lives to be able to see that there is still something yet ahead. And I don't know about anybody else, but have you ever been in a dark room? When the light enters in that dark room, darkness seems to scatter. So if nothing else, the Word ought to be such that it causes darkness in your circumstance to scatter, even if it's for a moment, even if it's in the midst of a trial, tribulation, or whatever, is supposed to be able to scatter the mess so you can see that there's more to this than meets the eye. And when Jesus is still having this side conversation that we talked about last week, this is the tail end of it. He's closing it up by basically saying, I want you to understand how serious I am about you not only understanding the parable and understanding that I gave you the key to the kingdom, but I want you to understand what your responsibility now is. Because Jesus never tells us anything without giving us a job. Jesus never teaches anything without giving us a job. I'm going to say something funny. It may not be too funny, but my mom, when I first started pastoring, and when my family joined the church, my mom, highly intelligent woman, my mom, one of the smartest people I know. I don't say it as much as I should, but I'm going to say it more and more day by day until she realizes that I really believe that she is probably one of the smartest people I know. And she always see stuff and got ideas. My mom probably got million-dollar ideas floating around in her head that nobody has seen before, right? So when you first start pastoring, it's a little odd dynamic when you are the young pastor and you happen to be the pastor of your family now. And you are in a spot where your son, grandson, all that stuff, but yet you're pastoring your family. So one day, my mom came up with a bunch of brilliant ideas, and I looked at her very keenly, and I said, Mom, I love you for all this stuff, and all those ideas are good. So you know what I'm about to ask you? She was like, what? I was like, can you make those things happen? And she looked back at me, and she's like, no, that ain't what this was about. This was about sharing with you all the good stuff. See, people like to share good stuff, but don't want the responsibility to make it happen. That's not a knock. It's just that normally, you know, we get good ideas, but we don't always have the drive to make it happen. Jesus always saw good things and always prepared people, but never left them without what? The responsibility of carrying out the next thing. He says, do you take a light into a room and hide it? What is he saying? The purpose of the light is what? We turn out all these lights, what's going to happen? Going to get dark. The purpose of light is to illuminate the room. You don't carry a candle into a room with the intention on covering up said candle and keeping everything dark. Your intent is to take the light into the dark room and bring about illumination to the room. If you don't do that, then you are misusing what you have. Y'all with me still? So he's saying, I've given you some stuff, and your responsibility is to take it into the places and use it for what it's supposed to be useful for. So whoever has an ear, is in the text, let them hear. And if you've been given this the same way it's been given to you, you're now responsible to what? Give it back in the same way. Because it's going to be accounted to you. In other words, if you have this message, your responsibility is to give it freely. It is not your responsibility to pass it off to somebody else. You have received it in order that you may share it with somebody else. Freely it's been given. Guess what you do? Y'all still with me? Okay. Quiet doesn't necessarily mean that you ain't listening. Okay. So the other part in that text says what? If you have it, use it, and it'll come back to you in the same way, and guess what? You'll still get more. So there's a cycle. But the other part says, to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. In other words, if you didn't get it, you're going to lose ground. If you didn't get what this thing really meant, whatever you do, you're going to lose ground. There are people that get the message. You're supposed to take it and go. But if you don't receive that thing, if you don't pull that thing in, whatever you have, you're going to keep on what? Losing ground. It's a heavy thing about having a grip on something, because what happens when you have received a word from God that was empowering to you, but suddenly you hold on to it so hard and so long that you begin to tell yourself and others they may not be worthy of what you got? When you have a tight grip, you're telling people you are stingy. Okay, let's walk this thing. If you don't have a spirit of giving, you have what? A spirit of stingy. Even people that are good at taking care of their money, a lot of them are actually givers. They're not just misers. A lot of people that are really good with their money are givers. A lot of companies that have a lot of money, they give as much as they take in. Why do you think certain companies are always on top? All you got to do is look at their other line where they what? Do intentional giving. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about a principle. If it's been given to you, you ought to be able to what? Give it back out. If it was given to you, it was to change your disposition so that people would know that God has done something in your life so powerful and so radical that nobody else could do it. The hard thing about dealing with Christianity in the 21st century is that you have a few groups of people. You have those who know that only God could have done this. And then you have a group of people that know that only God could have done it, but they don't want to tell nobody. And you got the last group. They know that God did it, but they don't want to confess it. And they forgot about it and want to tell you they did it with God's help. See, the folk that know that only the Lord could do it, they got a certain disposition. That every once in a while, and guess what? In that group, you got extroverts and introverts. See, the extroverts, they come into church and they shout and cause people a whole lot of nerve damage, because every time they come up in here, they get around and they think about what God has done for them. And every once in a while, they get up shouting and all this other kind of stuff. They can't help but tell about how much the Lord has done for them. And people sit in the pew like, why don't they shut up? But they can't, because they know that if the Lord didn't show up and didn't do this and didn't do that, they wouldn't even be here right now. And those are those extroverts, those ones that are they just crazy. You look at them silly every once in a while. As a matter of fact, you probably look at them silly on a regular basis if you go to this church, and you're like, why don't they sit down somewhere? But then you got the introverts. They're not as loud as the extrovert, but every once in a while, they just think about it. They got tears in their eyes. They do all kind of stuff, and they're like, I can't help but help somebody. I can't help but do this. I can't help but do that. I can't help. I should sit down somewhere, but I can't help but let people know that God has been real in my life. And every now and then, you ought to have something inside of you that says, I am not going to be ashamed of letting people know that God has been good to me. If there's no other place you can talk about it, you ought to be able to talk about it up in here. That God has been good to me. I thought I was in the right place. Can we have about give me about 45 seconds. Is there anybody in here that can still say that God has been good to you? Opened doors for you, made ways, done things that seemed impossible, provided when it looked like there was no way that could be made. Money dried up and your bills still got paid. Everything looked like it was cut off, but the Lord never allowed it to happen. Am I in the right place? Is there anybody that knows that when you've gone through all kinds of tests and trials, that God still showed up for you? Something in you ought to be different. It can't be tight. Because God gave it to you freely, you ought to be able to what? Give it back out. So why do you need to release the gospel? Why do you need to loosen your grip? Because one, hidden truth benefits no one. Hidden truth benefits no one. Right? Bible says, and you shall know the truth. And we always say, we quote it this way. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the real translation of that text is, and you shall know the truth, and knowledge of the truth shall set you free. Not just the truth, but the knowledge of the truth will set you free. In other words, and now let's take it a step further. If you have knowledge of the truth, then if it really has set you free, you want to what? Share that. Because what sense does it make for you to be free and go around folk that are bound and you got the key and you don't use it? That's like if someone needs to get into the office and there's only certain people that got the office key, and you go up to the people that actually have the office key and they actually need to get into the office, but they don't have access, but you do. And they ask you, can you unlock this door? And you say, I could, but I don't feel like it. That's how people treat folk, not just in the church, but in the world. You got the answer, but you look at people a certain way and you make a snap decision about whether or not you want to share the thing that can set them free. And can I go all the way here? I think part of it is the fact that some of the people that God sends us to remind us so much of what we used to be that we don't want to re-enter into that stuff. I don't want to remember what I've been through. And I get some of that. But can I tell you, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That means God has given me the key. This is how I got here. Don't be going around telling people a bunch of lies and you know they lies. What do you mean, Reverend? Don't be telling people that you just came to church and one day after studying your Bible for hours and hours, you said yes. Everybody in here ain't a Bible scholar. And let's tell the truth. I'll tell the truth. I was not feeling church all the time. Yeah, I went to church every Sunday as a kid. But you know what I did most of the time? My grandfather sat up in the balcony at the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. And I sat with my grandfather. And when it got too long, what did I do? I fell asleep. I didn't come to this point just about, it was just on my life. I don't care how many people say it was on my life. I'll tell the truth. I slept in church. I didn't pay attention in church all the time. Church was boring. It didn't make no sense to me. But one day it finally clicked. And when it clicked, I ain't turned back since. But I'm not going to go around here and act like all of a sudden young people got to act like me today. I know what they've been through. They don't want to hear a bunch of boring nonsense. They want to know what the truth is. And the truth is, you got to go through something at some point, and when it clicks, it makes sense. Okay, don't stick with young people. Just deal with any old body. You want them to come and all of a sudden dress up, do this, do that. That ain't how it's going to work. Tell them the truth. The truth is, if you get this thing straight, no chaser, it'll change your life. Fooling around. That, you want to know how churches grow? They don't grow by you holding on to the answer. You, not just me, you got it. So guess what? You can tell it. Amen. Hidden truth don't help nobody. It don't benefit a single soul. Two, the reason this thing's got to get released is because selfish intentions corrupt progress. Selfish intentions corrupt progress. Hear this imagery again. Do you take a lamp and go into a room and put the lamp under a bushel or under a bed, or do you just let it be out? Okay? Selfish would say, I cover my lamp and my light, and it's only useful on my terms. Am I there? Okay. The only way I'm going to share this is what? On my terms. No, you got to come here for me to share it. No, baby. You got to go out there and share it. Because here it is. You ready for this? We're in here for a few hours out of every week. That's including Sunday morning worship, Sunday school, Bible studies, all that kind of stuff. Only a few hours out of 168 in a week. So if the only time you talk about Jesus is in here, all you did was bring your light in here and drop it off. Pick it up, take it back to your house, drop it off. You go to work and you ain't got it with you. And you go around and you say crazy stuff like, these folk have lost their mind. But ain't you the light? Cool. All right. Hey, wait. Ain't you the lamp? Okay. Ain't you the lamp that has the word in you
that the Bible says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. So somewhere along the line, somebody ought to see something. But all of a sudden, you don't want folk to know that you love the Lord. You don't want people to know that you actually go to church and you shout every once in a while. You don't want to let people know that you actually get emotional at the thought that Jesus loved you enough to die for you. You want to prove to people that you are so much this that you want to deny that God can raise you up off of stuff. Are you serious? As many testimonies as I know are in this room, and I don't know all of them, but when I think about all the years that are represented in this room of life, there's at least one that can talk about how God raised you up of your bed of affliction. There's at least one that can talk about the fact that when you were broke and busted and disgusted, that God brought you back together again. That there's at least one that can say that he kept your marriage when you couldn't keep yourself. Kept your children when you were no good for them. You think being lit in here is the only place you need to be lit? No. What you trying to prove to me? Shouldn't try to prove to me or anybody else. The folk that need it the most, they ain't here yet. And they waiting on you. Oh, yes, they are. You don't believe it? Try it tomorrow. Matter of fact, try it today. Some of y'all going to go to a restaurant somewhere. Y'all going to sit down and chew the fat and talk about all kinds of stuff. You might even talk about me behind my back and I won't know it. But even if you do, make sure somebody sees the witness. When you pray over your food, this is going to sound crazy, but when you pray over your food, can I tell you something? Can you take 5 more extra seconds to think about when you couldn't even choose what you wanted to eat? When you had no options, and you could just say, God, I thank you for what you provided. It may not be what I want, but I know it's going to what? Take me through. When you don't share it, it proves that you're selfish. Now people in here will be like, how you going to call me? I'm just saying, if you don't tell somebody that they can be healed, and where they can be healed, and you really got the answer, that's selfish. Yes. Other folk need to know Jesus too. Amen. Let me move on and give you the last thing, and I'm finished. And I bid you adieu until we go to the table. Last thing. The last reason you need to release the word is because it sparks a positive cycle. It sparks a positive cycle. Look at this again. It's been given to you. So in the same way you received it, give it. If you ain't got it in you, then you can't give it out. And whatever you think you had, you're going to lose ground. Two cycles are at work in the text. Give it with the same way it's been given to you. Right? If it ain't in you, whatever you thought you had, you're going to lose that too. Some of us don't realize that we don't just work in seasons, but we work in cycles. Right? So churches go through cycles. And people don't like to admit this about churches going through cycles. But there are churches that go through this streak of, you know, everything is wonderful, glorious, and folk coming and the church is busting at the seams and everybody on top of each other. Folk are too hot, so they start to expand, grow, do this, move to 2 services, 10 services, whatever. And after all that expansion, there's this lull. And that lull represents that even prosperity becomes too common. So they go through a season where it seems like nothing is happening. Everything's still working, but it's just kind of there. So then they try to figure out, what do we need to do to kind of get this thing going? And if they don't figure it out in that lull season, they go into the next part of the cycle, which is things just go by the wayside. People kind of move on. They've lost their attention span for this, and they try to find their own stuff. They say it. This is the way they say it. I'm not being fed no more. And some people that say that, some of that is true, but some people that say that, that's their way of trying to code language, trying to say, I need something to get my attention again. And then you go through the decrease and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden, come back together and say, you know what, we need to find something else and find what we need to do. And then everything revs back up, and then everybody's fine again, and it's prospering, da da da, and then everybody's comfortable again, and then it just goes on and on and on and on. It's a constant cycle. It's the conflict between methodology and message. But if you want to break the cycle, we talk about breaking cycles, but guess what? You don't realize this, but even when you break a cycle, you actually have to begin a new one. You broke one in order to actually start a new one. And the new cycle ought to be this. It ought to be rooted in something that is foundational and never changes. You ready for this? The message of the gospel is what got me to Jesus. Not a method. Not dress down Sundays, not hip hop in church, not dance ministry, not, you know, contemporary music, not the hymns, not this. At the core, what got me to Jesus was the message of the gospel. I might be considered too progressive in certain things for some people and too conservative in other things and all that kind of stuff. That ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. At the core of everything, what got me to Jesus was the Word of God. Now, if the Word of God is what got me there, then the Word of God is going to be the thing that sustains me too. Which means that in this cycle, the message has to be paramount. But not just the message being paramount, but me being having the ability to know that however I got it, I got to find ways to always let folk know that this is still what works. Which means that I don't put all the emphasis on the method, but I am so ready to be used by God that no matter the method, the message has got to go forth. So in that cycle, people still get the word, and guess what? No matter how they got the message, they're still going to say yes to Jesus. So we got to break a cycle. You cannot lean on just method, because method don't mean jack if the message is not the foundation. If the message is the foundation, we are always going to find a way to get the message out to people that need it the most. So when people need a word from God, we're not going to debate about whether or not they come to church on Sunday morning, or if they meet us on the street on Monday afternoon, or if they see us in the restaurant on Friday night, or if they see us at the store on Wednesday afternoon, or if they see us watching our kids play ball on Saturday, or if they watch our kids dance on Sunday afternoon. However we got to do it, at the core of everything, we got to remember that whatever God has given us, we got to give it back. If you got to do it while being a Lyft driver, while being an Uber driver, if you got to do it while being a coach on a team, an entrepreneur, whatever you got to do, know that at the core of everything, let folk know that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I wouldn't be here right now. Let them know that it's all about what God can do in your life.
how he can make a way, how he can open up a door. If you gotta pull a song every once in a while, pull out Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. If you gotta pull something else out, see, you gotta be contemporary. Tell somebody, never would have made it. I never would have made it without you. I could have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me. And I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, and I'm so much better. Whatever you got to do, get on Twitter and just say, thank you, Jesus. Get on Facebook and do a live and say, it's no shame in saying the Lord is good. Whatever you got to do, lay at the core of it all.